Certainly good to be with you this morning. We have a good crowd here, and I'm especially grateful for those who are visiting. We're grateful for your presence. We appreciate you being here, and we hope that you'll come back as you have an opportunity. It's good to have my family with me this weekend, and Caleb Chapman is here, and he and his family, and Jessica, and the two boys, and Caleb will be preaching, Lord willing, next Sunday morning, so you get to hear a good sermon for a change. Caleb is a great, fine young man, and he and others will be preaching in my absence in the month of August, and I'm so glad that they can come and be a part of the work here. If you want to turn in your Bibles this morning to Genesis chapter 32, we're going to learn some lessons from a family reunion. Before we do that, I'm grateful for those who are already praying for my trip. I greatly appreciate that. Reggie this morning and Brother Bob and others. And thank you for those prayers. And please keep me in mind and the family while we're separated. And Lord willing, I will see you at the end of August and we will have an opportunity to talk about some good things, great things that God does in His work. And I look forward to that. And thank you for your support and interest in prayers in that regard. I have found in life that when people struggle with things, often it's just the common, ordinary, everyday kinds of things. Every once in a while, a person might have to undergo some extraordinary type of event, but typically, I have found often it's just the daily grind, the daily stresses and strains of life that weigh down on people. And sometimes because of that, they might not have a right relationship with God, or they might have a good relationship, but it wears on them to the degree that they become unfaithful. And again, it's often not something extraordinary, but just the common stresses and strains. It could be work, it could be school, it could be family, it could be relationships in life. And this morning, I want us to consider a common, ordinary thing that often happens in a family or in a daily situation, and we're going to see how that Jacob handled that. I'm talking about his reunion with his brother Esau. The story begins with them estranged one from another, and it ends with them being united. And this morning we're going to see what a little bit of the story in between, not all of it, but a little bit of it. And we're going to see some things that Jacob did to handle the stresses and the strains of life. I've seen it happen in a person's marriage, and it weighs on them to such a degree that they end up breaking up. I've seen it in a person's individual lives. I've seen it with parenting and work and other kinds of things where we just let the stresses and strains of life get into the point where we just don't have a right relationship one with another and with God. But we're going to see this morning five things that Jacob did and that we can do that will help with that very matter. Before we look at chapters 32 through 35, if you'll just turn with me this morning to Genesis chapter 27 and verse 41. Genesis 27, 41. Let's just remind ourselves of how this part of the story begins, and then we're going to look at the end of it. In Genesis 27, you recall how that Jacob, with the help of his mother, had deceived his father and he had gotten the birthright from his brother Esau. And as a result of that, Genesis 27:41, and Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, "The days of mourning for my father are at hand, then I will slay my brother Jacob." This story begins with a brother, a twin brother, very angry. With what Jacob had done, to the point of wanting to kill him. And then turn with me to Genesis chapter 35 and verse 28. Genesis 35, 28, when it comes time for the funeral of Isaac. Genesis 35, 28, and the days of Isaac were 104 years, and Isaac gave up the ghost and died and was gathered unto his people, old and full of days, and Esau and Jacob, his sons, buried him. How do we go from a brother being so angry that he wants to kill his brother to both of them being united, loving each other, and burying their father together? How do we get to that point? What happens in between? That's our lesson this morning. And when we see that lesson in between, we're going to see some things that we can do in our life that will help us deal with the daily stresses and strains that come upon us. Turn with me now to Genesis chapter 32. Of course, Jacob, through the encouragement of both his mother and his father, back in chapter 27, at the end of the chapter and the beginning of chapter 28, they tell Jacob to go to his uncle Laban. And there he's going to do two things. He's going to leave in order to give time for Esau's anger to subside, and then he's also going to get a wife there. And at some point, it's going to come time for Jacob to come back. And Jacob knows how his brother feels about him. We're going to see today that the text says that Jacob was distressed. He was distressed when he left, and the text says that he was distressed when he came back because he's got to meet this brother of his that wants to kill him. And herein is the idea of the daily stresses and strains of life. Do you have situations, brethren and friends, where you know something is going to happen in the future and you're uneasy about that? You don't know about that. You're uneasy about that. You're concerned about that. You're stressed about that. Brethren, often it's those very things that weigh on us, and we've got to learn how to handle those things to stay faithful to the Lord. I know of some situations where the past has caused a problem for a person. But often, if you think about it, it's the future. It's worrying about the future. It's concerned about the future. It's the uneasiness about the future. And it's this, I don't know this, and I'm not sure about that, and I'm stressed about this, and what's going to happen when this happens? It's often the future that will cause people problems. So it comes time for Jacob to return. And if you'll turn with me to Genesis chapter 32, we're going to begin to see what Jacob did to handle this situation. And it's the very same thing we need to do. After 20 years, the Lord tells him to return. If you look at chapter 31 and verse 3, Jehovah said unto Jacob, return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. If you jump down to chapter 31 and verse 13, I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest a pillar, where thou vowed a vow unto me. Now arise and get thee from this land and return unto the land of thy nativity. It's time to go home. And we learn from chapter 31 and verse 41 that he had been gone 20 years. 14 years working for Laban to marry Leah and Rachel, and then another 6 years in developing his flocks, and it's time to go home. Oh, we've got a stress and a strain. I've got to go back home to a brother whom the last time I knew about him, he wanted to kill me. Let's see what Jacob did to handle that. Let's learn some lessons this morning from a family reunion. When things come up in the future, often we will sit down immediately and we will make a plan. Turn with me to chapter 32 and verse 1, and we're going to notice that Jacob made a plan. Jacob went on his way, Genesis 32, verse 1, and Jacob said when he saw them, this is God's host, and he called the name of that place Mahanaim, because the angels of God met him. There's angels in his life when he's leaving. Back in Genesis 28, the famous Jacob's ladder with angels ascending and descending, God sends Jacob angels. Verse 3, Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, into the land of Seir, the field of Edom, and he commanded them, saying, "Thus you shall say unto my lord Esau, thus saith my servant Jacob, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed until now, and I have oxen and asses and flocks and men servants and maid servants, and I have sent to tell my lord that I might find favor in thy sight." This is Jacob's plan. The messengers returned to Jacob saying, "We came to thy brother Esau, and moreover, he cometh to meet thee and 400 men with him." And then underscore in your Bible, "Then Jacob was greatly afraid and was distressed." This is the very thing that I'm talking about. The daily stresses and strains of life come up. Some of you are taking care of elderly parents. Some of you are in the midst of raising children. Some of you might have experienced job changes recently. A move. There are different things that can happen in our life that bother us. How do we handle that? Well, often we will make plans. Did you notice that Jacob sent some messengers ahead? And then in verse 7, he says, he divided the people that were with him and the flocks and the herds and the camels into two companies and said, "If Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the company which is left shall escape." Notice he's making some plans here, and we often do that. But I'm here to tell you this morning that Jacob did five other things that are important. Plans are not enough. Plans are good, but plans are not enough. So what else do we need to make sure that we maintain a right relationship with God during the stresses and the strains of life? Number one, it's good to plan, but we also need to pray. Let's start reading in verse 9. We need to pray. Have you done that? I love the song that we sing, "Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray?" Do we start the day with prayer? Well, I made some plans. Great. That's awesome. But did you think to pray? Did you think to pray about it? Oh, I just made some plans. That's good. But did we pray to God and ask God for help in this particular daily thing that is weighing us down? We learn, number one, that Jacob prayed. Jacob said, "O God of my father and Abraham, the God of the father of Isaac, O Jehovah, who said unto me, return unto thy company." We read that earlier. God said, "Go home. And to thy kindred, and I will do thee good. I am not worthy of the least of all the loving kindness and all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan," that's all I had, "and now I am become two companies. You have blessed me with this family and these material possessions and these servants. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he come and smite me, the mother with the children. And thou said, I will surely do thee good and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for the multitude." He had told Jacob that before he even got to Laban back in chapter 28 when we have the well-known Jacob's ladder. God had blessed Jacob and said, "I'll be with you and I'll make you a great company." In other words, "Lord, I need you to come good on your promise now." Even though you plan, friends, you still need to pray. We still need God. And it's great to make plans in order to deal with this particular stressful thing that's on our plate, but we need to learn to pray to God every day. Pray without ceasing. Fervent in prayer, always in prayer. That was a part of our scripture reading this morning. This is a great prayer. Start with me again in verse 9 and break down the elements of this prayer. Notice, first of all, that Jacob says that God is supposed to be for all of the family. He was the God of my father Abraham and Isaac, and now you're my God. Make sure, parents, that God is not just for me, the parent, but for the children and for the grandchildren. God is for every aspect of my family. And I appreciate the parents and the grandparents that are here this morning and the children and the grandchildren. We're trying to not just simply have a religion for ourselves, but it's for the whole family. What's good for me is good for them as well. Notice the second element. He said, I'm going to obey. You told me to return, and I'm returning. We need to be an obedient people, and we need to be a humble people. He said, I'm not worthy of the least of all the loving kindness and truth that you showed me. Humble, not proud. And he says, I have received your love and your truth. And God's truth is revealed to us in the Scriptures. We need to be a people who's not only receptive of God's love, but also of His truth. And that we need God's help and God's deliverance. Verse 11, deliver me, I pray thee, out of the hand of thy brother. When you're facing that big decision that is coming up, do we say, God, deliver me from this big thing that is around the corner? Not just deliver me from temptation, Matthew 6, that's a part of it, but deliver me from these weights and these burdens. Help me. It's great to plan. But planning is not enough. We've got to pray to God. And then he believed in the promises of God. You said to me that you would make me, my seed is the sand of the sea. And I believe that. It's great to plan. But don't ever forget that we still need to pray. But then Jacob did a second thing. In Genesis chapter 32 and verse 13, this is where Jacob continues to plan, and he sends his servants out ahead of time, and he gives them some gifts. And these servants are going to go little by little, and they're going to meet Esau first, and they're going to give him the gifts, and that's going to help to pacify him and help him more cordial when it comes time for both of them to meet. And so he sends out, my version says, every drove. Just a group of these servants with some gifts, and they're going to go ahead of time, and they're going to give Esau these gifts. So Jacob continues to plan, but he's relying on God. He's already prayed to God. But here's the second thing that he does. Not only do you not just need to plan, you need to pray, but not only do you need to pray, even though you pray, you still need to prevail. Somebody says, well, I prayed and that was enough. No, we pray. But then we get up and do what we need to do. And sometimes it might be a challenging thing. And so then it comes to chapter 32 and verse 22, the well-known wrestling match that Jacob had with the man that was sent to him from God. And brethren, I want you to note that it's on the night before he meets Esau. As if Jacob doesn't have enough on his plate already. The anxiety and the stress that is coming. I've got to meet my brother. God sends me a wrestling match on the night that I'm supposed to, right before I meet my brother. Why does God do that? Because it's a part of dealing with things in life. It makes us stronger and it makes us better. And so he sends, they're at the ford of the Jabbok River on the east side of the Jordan. They're making their way back toward Canaan land. He's separated from his wives and children. Verse 24, Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And it's in Hosea chapter 12 and verse 3 that all the way down later in the period of the minor prophets that Hosea says he wrestled with God. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was strained, and he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. And he said, I will not let you go except you bless me. And he said, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, literally meaning striving with God. Strive with God. Why is God doing this? Jacob has enough on his mind. He has enough troubles as it is. It's to show and prove Jacob's character. For thou hast striven with God and with men and hast prevailed. It is not enough to plan, we need to pray. And it's not enough to pray, we still need to prevail. Paul says our wrestling is not with flesh and blood. We're not engaged in physical kind of fighting, but we do have to wrestle with forces that are out there, evil forces and wicked forces that are out there that try to keep us from having a right relationship with God. And we've got to have a wrestling match and win it. And we can. We need to put on the whole armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6, and we need to top it off with prayer. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. We've got to, in addition to pray, we've got to daily wrestle and prevail and overcome. This is a part of God's plan. And it's a part of making us stronger so that we can deal with these kinds of things. Can you imagine wrestling with a man that night and then the next morning meeting Esau? I would feel pretty good about meeting Esau if I just wrestled with God. You see, it helps us. It helps us. It helps us to be a better Christian. It helps us to be stronger and steadfast. We don't want to say in our life, Lord, please don't send me any trouble. We want the things that He sends us because it makes us a better person. With all prayer and supplication, praying at all seasons in the Spirit and watching thereunto in all perseverance and supplication for the saints. It's prayer, having put on the whole armor of God, and prayer and perseverance. Notice what Jacob is doing to deal with this situation. He's praying, number one, and he's persevering, number two. So let's pick up the reading again, the same in James 1 and verse 12, that with patience and endurance we're blessed and we can overcome those trials and tribulations. Genesis 32, verse 30. Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for he said, I have seen God face to face and my life is preserved. And the sun rose upon him as he passed over Peniel and he limped upon his thigh. Hey, Jacob, what happened? Esau's like, what happened to my brother in the last 20 years? Here he comes limping. What happened to him? Did he fall off a camel or what happened to him? I just wrestled with God. I don't know how long Jacob limped. I don't know if he limped the rest of his life. I don't know. But I'll tell you what, however long he limped, that was a reminder of his prevailing and his persevering. And we need to do the same. So verse 33. And Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau was coming, and with him 400 men. And he divided the children unto Leah and unto Rachel and unto the two handmaids. He's got his plan, but he's doing more than just planning. He's praying. And number two, he's prevailing. And then we're going to find a third thing that he now does. Even though you pray, you need to prevail. And even though you prevail, you still need to perform. In chapter 33, he still hasn't met Esau yet. We still got to get to the point about meeting Esau. When's that going to happen? Brethren, on a daily basis, what helps us to get through life is actually performing the things that God wants us to do. Just continue performing the things that God wants us to do. Back in chapter 31, God said, I want you to go home. And Jacob prays about it. And on the way home, he has this wrestling match with the Lord. But he still needs to go home. He still has to face his brother. He still has to perform the duties that God wants him to perform. And brethren, look at what happened when he did that. Esau says, I have enough. It's not as bad as he thought it was going to be. And they unite. Eventually, Esau takes the gift from Jacob, and there is a close reunion. And Jacob is now back in the land. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 11, Paul said that for a while you've been laying by in store on the first day of the week, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, but you need to get your contribution ready for the needy saints in Judea. And look at what he says and what he writes in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 11. Complete the doing. Complete the doing. One of the best things that will help us to make it through the daily stresses and strains of life, in addition to prayer and prevailing, is just simply performing the daily Christian duties that God wants us to do. Being the husband and the wife and the parent and the child and the Christian that God wants us to be. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, to be obedient. Not in my presence only, but in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Just be a constant daily performer for God. Jacob had to get to the point where he had to meet his brother. That's a part of the situation. And it came time now to complete the doing. And it wasn't as bad as he thought it was going to be. And there's a whole lesson there on reconciliation, and there's a whole lesson there on forgiveness that we won't take time to look at this morning, but because of those kinds of things, there is a great reunion. Verse 11, take, I pray thee, my gift that is brought to thee, because God hath dealt graciously with me, because I have enough. And he urged him, and he took it. And he said, let us take our journey, and let us go, and I will go before thee. What a great reunion. Well, the reunion has now been made. What now? Now that I'm back in the land, what now? And I would suggest this, if you'll turn with me to Genesis 33 and verse 18, even though you pray, and even though you prevail, and even though you perform those things that God wants you to do, you still need to live peaceably in your life. There are going to be those stresses and strains, but Jacob's attitude now is, I just want to live in peace. Your versions might say he came to Shechem safely. This is the Hebrew word shalom, peace. I just want to have a peaceful life. There are going to be issues in our life that are challenging, but if we get up each day with the basic attitude, I want to be at peace in my family and with those around me and with others, that's what's going to help us get through. We don't want a chaotic, troubled life that we are often causing ourselves and that the world causes themselves. Jacob came in peace to the city of Shechem. I'm back home and I just want to live a peaceful life. I think some people don't realize the importance of that. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 18, Paul says that we are to live at peace with those around us. As much as lieth within you, be at peace with all men. That starts even in our own home. I want to be a peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. I don't want to get up fighting and arguing and complaining and causing trouble and division. That's what's going on out in the world. I want to be a peacemaker. If that means more love and more forgiveness and more kindness and a kinder word and checking some things. Jacob comes back, I just want to live in peace. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. How is that accomplished? Ephesians chapter 2. Paul tells us how that is accomplished In Ephesians 2:17, Jesus came and preached peace to you that were afar off and peace to them that were nigh. Other places, Paul talks about the gospel of peace. If we'll just have the gospel in our life, that we are guided daily by God's word, that's what brings peace. It helps us to get rid of those things in our life that are not making for peace. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 14, let us follow after things which make for peace. It begins by getting sin out of our life. It begins by obeying the New Testament gospel. And we can have that harmony and that happiness that God intends for us. Number four, Jacob simply wanted to live a peaceable life. And if you turn with me to Genesis chapter 34, this is the matter in which Jacob's daughter, Dinah, is sexually mistreated by Shechem. And he forces himself on her. And her two brothers, Simeon and Levi, go avenge that terrible act, and it was a terrible act, to take advantage of a woman like that. And they go and avenge that misdeed by slaying the males, including Hamor and Shechem, the man who did this. And look at what Jacob's response is to this. In verse 30 of Genesis 34. Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, you have troubled me to make me odious to the inhabitants of the land among the Canaanites and the Perizzites, and I being few in number, they will gather themselves together against me and smite me and shall be destroyed, I and my house. You've troubled me. I just want to live in peace. And that needs to be our approach, brethren, on a daily basis. I just want to be at peace. Honey, I just want to be at peace. Or the employer, or the child, or the parent, or the church member. I just want to live in peace. What can we do to make that happen today? And it helps us to deal. There is so much out there that is against us, at least in our own home, we're at peace. So it's great to think about that. It's not enough just simply to perform and do what God wants us to do. We also need to have this approach, this unified approach that I and my family, we just want to live in peace. And then last of all, if you'll turn with me to Genesis chapter 35, even though you live peaceably, it's very, very important that as we're trying to deal with the stresses and strains of life, that we live a pure and godly and holy life. In Genesis chapter 35 then, God said to Jacob, arise, go to Bethel and dwell there, and there make an altar unto God who appeared unto thee when thou fled from the face of Esau, thy brother. Jacob had said back in chapter 28 that he would do that when he came back to the land. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, here's the point, put away the foreign gods that are among you and purify yourselves and change your garments. And let us arise and go to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way that I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the foreign gods, the idols which were in their hand and the rings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. We've got to get rid of anything that is a challenge to serving God. We've got to get rid of anything that is a rival to serving God. And with that type of purity in our life, we can face anything that comes along. Jesus died not only to free us from sin, Titus 2:14, but to purify unto himself a people who are zealous of good works. Let us be pure. Let us get rid of the idols. We might not have actual idols made of wood and stone, but anything that is a rival with God. We cannot serve God and mammon, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. The very last verse of 1 John seems out of place. What's the very last verse of 1 John? Seems out of place. But right there at the end, guard yourself from idols. Because even John knows that they can creep in and creep up and get in our life and get in the way. Well, work is, you know, my idol. My car and my house, well, that's my idol. Or whatever. Money, whatever. One last thing had to take place for this period of Jacob's life to be complete. And that is, I'm going to get rid of anything that is standing in the way of completely serving God. And I love the verse in verse 4. Bury it. Bury it under the ground. Don't keep it around where you can pull it back quickly. Don't keep it right over there on the side where you can have it with you. Just bury it. Then in the rest of the chapter, the closing events of this part of Jacob's life, Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, dies. God appears to Jacob again and repeats the blessing to him. You recall how that Rachel dies in giving birth to Benjamin. The verses that mention the 12 sons of Jacob. And then the verse that we started off with at the beginning of the lesson where Jacob and Esau gather together at the funeral to bury their father. And you know that that has actually happened many, many times down through the years where family members that are estranged, what do? They come together for a funeral. They put their differences aside, come together to bury a mom or a dad. But I believe the coming together of Jacob and Esau here is a genuine thing. And here's why. Esau had some great attitudes that we haven't even had an opportunity to explore this morning. But with regard to Jacob, here's how it happened. He was a man of prayer. And we've got to always pray to God for help. He was a man who prevailed. He was a man who prevailed. And when there are things that we have to wrestle with and that we have to deal with, even in the midst of everything going on in life, I'm going to take on this fight if I have to. He was a man that performed what God told him to do. He didn't say, oh, my life is so full of distresses, you know, I can't obey God anymore. I've got so much stress going on. No, he just performed what God wanted him to do. He said, now that I'm back in the land, I just want to live at peace. I just want to be a peaceful person. Can we have those things in our life where we can just be at peace with each other? And then last of all, when he realized there's still some idols around, there's still some things that are around that are going to cause a problem with us 100% serving God, give me those things, please. Let's bury them under the dirt. Let's not go back to that way of life. I appreciate there are those here who recently have come out of things in the world, and they're telling me, I don't want that anymore. What a great attitude. I don't want that worldly lifestyle anymore. And brethren, if we'll do those same things today, it will help us to make it through life. You know, Jacob didn't always do what was right, but he got it right on this one. He got it right on this one. And it's the very thing that helped him to make it through just what we might call those common, ordinary future events coming up that are just weighing on us. It helps us know how to deal with those kinds of things. And what a great example that is for us. Some lessons from a family reunion. Let's go out and have those same elements in our life, and we will have that relationship that God wants us to have. And we won't get caught by that trap where you see it happen so many times in life the person just gets caught up with the daily stresses and strains, and somehow they end up falling away from God. That's not going to happen to us because we've taken those preventive measures, and we want to continue having that right relationship with God. We're going to stand and sing the song of invitation, Zion's Call. God's call is to come and obey Him, put on Christ this morning in baptism, if we can help you to do that, or to come back to the Lord having erred in some way, we stand ready to do that as well. God's call, it's still for us, that invitation is still here. What a great thing it is to still have that call and that invitation, and if you need to heed that this morning, let us help you to do that. Why won't you come as we stand and sing?